house in New Orleans. They call the rising sun. It's been the ruin of many a poor girl and me, who got I'm one. If I had listened to what my mama said, I'd be back home.
Well, thanks for tuning in. This is Matt Santos of the Mile High Show. You are listening to episode number 29 today with my new friend, Tom Agostino. I've only recently met Tom in person, but I've been a fan and a follower and a listener of his for quite some time. Tom is the host of The Folk Sessions, a great showcase for folk and acoustic musicians, not just locally, but also he's had some national and international guests on his show where they talk folk music, acoustic music, Americana, all that good stuff. Locally, he's on the K-Jazz Radio Network, 89.5 throughout the Prescott area, but also all over the Southwest. That K-Jazz Network has a far and loyal following and reach throughout the Southwest, and all that information about Tom and the Folk Sessions is available at folksessions.com. Aside from the radio show, Tom also produces and presents live musical events, including this Friday at the Highland Center, a beautiful amphitheater set in the pines in the Prescott Mountains, about 2 hours or so north of Phoenix, Arizona. It is the Americana Fest, where he will be bringing some great, great musicians to the Prescott area for your listening enjoyment. So check out the Americana Fest at folksessions.com. You can find out how to get tickets for that show, as well as some other upcoming shows that Tom will be presenting. Now, when I sat down with him a few days ago, he was backstage at the Prescott Center for the Arts. That's another great great spot for not just local music, but also the dramatic arts. They put on some great plays and theatrical presentations at the Prescott Center for the Arts. They are located at PFAA.net, or just Google Prescott Center for the Arts. Some of the shows they've got coming up are West Side Story, middle of July, featuring some very talented local entertainers. And also in a week or so, Blues Dog, which is a tribute to B.B. King. There's some great, great entertainment happening at the Center for the Arts in Prescott. One of the fun presentations they did in conjunction with Folk Sessions and Tom Agostino was last week, the Dirty Bourbon River Show. Now, I had not, I wasn't familiar with these folks previous to last week when they traveled through Prescott on their way to and from parts all around the country. They are a very, very active touring brass band. They actually they bill themselves as a the New Orleans Big Brass Circus is how they're described on DirtyBourbonRiverShow.com. Incredibly talented musicians and entertainers. It's a whole theatrical presentation they do. Check them out, Dirty Bourbon River Show. This recording session we were doing was a little hectic because we were backstage as Tom was getting the lighting and the sound crew organized. He was making sure the band was taken care of with refreshments and things in their dressing room. And so there was a lot going on. But, you know, that's kind of the style I'm going for with the Mile High Show podcast, because we do record on location as much as possible. We encourage folks to stop by and watch and hear, listen in as we record at various bars and restaurants and things. And we kind of want that feel, that spontaneous drop-in type of feel as we record. So, it was a little hectic, but you know what? So what? That's how the conversation went. We cut in and out a couple of times. One of the musicians, Jimmy from the Dirty Bourbon River Show, came in and sat down. We plugged the mic in and recorded with him for a little bit. It was fun. It was exciting to see the backstage energy, to feel that that spontaneity, and I hope that comes through in this recording with Tom Agostino as he was preparing to present the Dirty Bourbon River Show at the Prescott Center for the Arts. So sit back, enjoy. We're actually going to close out the show with a cut from the Dirty Bourbon River Show's latest CD, which you can get via iTunes or through DirtyBourbonRiverShow.com. We hope you enjoy it. I sure enjoyed recording it and watching and listening to this very exciting band out of New Orleans. And today's show is brought to you by Jimmy James Motorsports out of Chino Valley, the place to go for your motorcycle and off-road repairs and maintenance. Check out Jimmy James and enjoy episode 29 with Tom Agostino. We've been having some beautiful weather up here in Yavapai County in Arizona, and I took advantage of it today. I was out riding the highways on my trusty two-wheeler, my Kawasaki 2000cc Vulcan. I love that bike, but I will not take it out until it has been cleared by the experts at Jimmy James Motorsport and Repair. Jimmy's a good friend of mine and a friend of the show. We welcome him as a sponsor of the Mile High Show. So take your bike on down to Jimmy James Motorsports in Chino Valley. He's located at Lantana Plaza, 1264 South Highway 89, Unit B. That's the center just as you're entering into town, going north on Highway 89. Or give Jimmy a call, 928-308-5951. Reasonable prices and well over 20 years experience working on bikes in this area. He was the local Honda expert for one of our local shops here before going out on his own. But he works on every brand of bike. He specializes in Hondas, Kawasaki's, Yamahas, and he's always got some great Harleys in there. He also sells bikes on consignment. So go on by, check out Jimmy, check out his stock, and have him work on your bike, whether the repair is a major overhaul or just tuning it up and getting it checked out before you hit the highway. Don't do so before you talk to Jimmy at Jimmy James Motorsports in Chino Valley. He is the guy to go to, and I tell you, I won't take mine out on the road till it's been checked out by Jimmy.
And the rest of my days beneath that rising sun.
Chris but I love Marley. Small towns. You go and get your coffee. The mayor's there, and the old guy's at the table. Sitting around. They've been sitting around that same table for about 20 years.
The Motley crew over there. Well, we are not sitting around a coffee table. We are in the beautiful Prescott Center for the Arts on Marina, right? Is the address?
Yeah, on Marina.
I'll put a link. I'm sitting here with Tom. Tom, first off, tell me where folks can see your schedule, hear your radio show, hear all about your folk sessions.
Yeah, I do a show called The Folk Sessions, a radio show. 12 years we've been broadcasting.
Congrats, man. That's
Thank
great.
Thank you. Yeah. And you can hear it on 89.5 FM in the Prescott area or 90.1, both of them. And you can see everything we do on folksessions.com.
Folksessions.com, and you got your schedule and everything on there?
Yeah, because besides doing the radio show, we do a pretty active concert series.
And what you're hearing in the background right now is, I don't have my glasses on, the Dirty Bourbon River Show.
Yeah.
You set this show up. This is a folk session show.
This is a folk session production.
Where are these guys out of?
They're out of New Orleans.
How would you, I mean, they're sounding great. When I walked in, they were setting up on the stage. We're backstage right now. in the beautiful, beautiful theater. But what can folks expect when they hear or
these guys?
Search these guys, look at them on YouTube?
This is
like
now this is very different than the kind of groups I normally would bring into town, because you know my show is called The Folk Session, so you figure you're going to get pretty much a folk music. Yeah. With a strong, strong dose of the Americana roots side of things, which is my personal
love. And
that's
your background
as well,
right?
Yeah, I love gritty, rootsy Americana music. But this is not that. This is a brass band. In fact, there's no strings at all in it. It's a brass band with drums. The bass is a big bassoon, right? And it's all brass. And Maine, the front guy, does play some accordion and a few other kind of instruments, but it's basically a brass band, and they're just outrageous. And you know what I've decided, one of the things I've decided is you can only do so many shows. I can only do maybe one a month maximum, and I'm just burnt out. I want them to be memorable. I don't want to bring in a group that you could have heard the week before at local at the Raven. I want to bring in a group that is doing something different in the genre, that's going to make you feel you had a really unique, really special night out. And there's been nobody like this in Prescott since I've been here.
How'd you hook up with these guys? What made you guys cross paths?
I work with certain agencies who, you know...
Get right on there.
Yeah, I work with several agencies who have... I've just liked the artists they represent, you know, and I've had a success dealing with them. And so they'll just contact me. We have these guys coming through Arizona... You want to
take advantage of
these
them,
are the dates, and like this is a Wednesday night show, right? This is the night I could get these guys because they're on their way from someplace, going to someplace, and I can get them here in Prescott on Wednesday night at a very reasonable price for us, and do something a little bit different, that you would normally have to go to Vegas to see or to go to Phoenix, you know, or a big city.
Now, you brought up a thing, what you said about. You want something memorable, something a little out of what the ordinary is around here. Now, that's not to say we don't have a great music scene here.
Cause we have a really good
music scene. You mentioned the Raven. They got some great local and touring groups there. Other, you know, Brick and Bones, a lot of the other venues around here. Some small, some a little bigger. But for our area, we've got a really thriving music scene. So to get somebody... You're trying to find somebody that really stands out or something that you can't necessarily find.
We have an interesting music scene. You know, I would say a music scene kind of comes into two halves, right? We have the big names that can come and play at the O. Tim's or can play at the college.
Yeah.
Bruce Hornsby's of the world, those guys, right? Who $35 tickets and... You know, they get about $15,000 a show, and they need 1,000 seats, right?
I'm in the wrong business.
Yeah, really. And then you have a lot of clubs and a lot of things that that it doesn't cost anything to go to see a group. You go in, you buy a couple of beers, and you can hear some really good music.
Yeah.
Mostly local, some traveling groups that'll come in. And then, and I have a little bit of a thing with it. I have total honesty. You have all these tribute groups that come in.
Yeah.
That kind of mid-level, Elks level, 400, 500 seat, tend to be tribute groups.
Yeah.
I mean, wouldn't you say that? You know, or you get the old, the guys who, and they're cool, do the Opry, the Prescott Opry.
Yeah, yeah.
So you get a really strong country stuff and some cowboy stuff. Right? But you don't get, what you don't get is anybody doing what I think I'm doing, is bringing in touring bands that haven't hit that level. They haven't maybe had a hit yet, so they're not going to be able to play at Prescott, you know, at college.
At the Tim's or at even like some of the smaller big venues in Phoenix and things like that. Yeah,
right. But they're touring groups. These guys who are here tonight, they're on the road 4 month tour, 20 concerts in this month alone.
Oh my!
So these are working bands who every night jump in their van. They'll leave here at 11 o'clock, go to the hotel. I got them. Sleep, get up in the morning, and hit the road for their next show.
Yeah.
But and no one really, I don't think really maybe, but me is bringing in those kind of groups, especially in some rock groups, maybe some country groups.
Yeah.
But in the Americana, which is a really thriving field. So my thing is there's all these groups and they're touring. They have to. I mean, that's how you make it these days. You're on the road. You're touring. And we've developed, because we've been doing this now 12 years, we've been doing this concert series, we've developed a reputation as not only do we put on good shows, but we have, Prescott has incredible audiences.
Yeah.
For this kind of stuff. They get it. They buy CDs.
Why is that? Why do you think Prescott stands out? Because I find that, too. I'm from the San Francisco Bay Area, where there was, for decades and decades and generations, there has been a thriving scene there. But, you know, that's a big metro area. It's a big cross, you know, many different towns making up the Bay, you know, Oakland, San Jose, even out as far as Sacramento and that. That Northern Cal has a very distinct flavor for music and some diversity. Here, I am hearing music that I haven't heard anywhere else.
Yeah.
I'm hearing of musicians, and I'm getting a chance to talk to musicians that are, when I start doing the research, I go, hey, this guy's been playing for decades. It's like the greatest music nobody ever heard of, but here, they're well known. And it's interesting to me why that is. Why do you feel that?
Well, what I found when I moved here from L.A. almost 13 years ago, right? And I moved in August 1st, and I met some people right away who told me about an event that happens in the first weekend in October in Prescott, which is the Charlotte Hall Folk Fest.
Mm-hmm.
38 years it's been happening. And I think that event brought a lot of musicians, especially in the years back, would come to Prescott for this folk fest, fall in love with the area we live in, and move here. And there's quite a few musicians moved here over that period of time. And Warren Miller, I don't know if you've ever had the opportunity to do a show at Warren.
No.
He's the godfather of folk in this town. Even though Karen Despain nicknamed me the godfather of folk because I'm Italian from Brooklyn,
Karen,
right?
So what a great lady.
I love Karen, but she called me the godfather of folk because of my Italian background. But Warren is truly the godfather of folk.
I'll make a point to reach out to Warren. I know the name, but no, I have
and
not.
And so a whole musical community developed around Charlotte Hall and around the folk scene there, you know, back 20, 25 years ago. And they all live here, you know, and then more people came in. And so you develop this kind of group of sophisticated music folks,
yeah,
who recognize good music. And a lot of them, you know, the retirees in this town, and they support really good music, you know. And this is the greatest thing for, like, us doing the show. They can buy a ticket.
Yeah.
They can go out and they can buy a ticket. They can spend 15, 20,
and
25 bucks and buy a ticket and then buy a CD.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a big part of it. You know, that's a big part of it. You know, we're you know, fortunate in that way that we have an older community. You know, we have an active retiree community that goes out.
And again, those folks, not just the musicians, but the folks that live here also have come from all over the country. So they're bringing in their tastes in music and their influences and the people they like. So, I agree. It's a very unique audience. It's a very unique music scene for me,
yeah,
to watch.
Yeah, I love
and
it.
I love it. What are some of the other shows that you've brought in that stick out in your mind
over the years?
Yeah,
last summer I had a real opportunity. You know, every once in a while you get to meet like one of your kind of legend people, yeah, that you've been listening to.
See, mine's
you first. <That's> And we got to, and it was like just one of those special opportunities. We got to do a show right here, yeah, with Ramblin' Jack Elliott.
Oh man.
You know, and he's 83 years old, and just to hang out, sit on this couch,
sit on this blue couch
with him. So he's sitting right here, waiting for him to go on, yeah, just hanging out with him as he's tuning his guitar, telling stories, and then after the show, going to Raven and eating was such a thrill. I mean, that was a real thrill, and I've gotten to become, I put on like several concerts over the years, and gotten to become friends with Tom Chapin. Harry Chapin's,
yeah,
younger brother, and who is an incredible musical force in his own self. And that's been a really... excuse me. I'm sorry. It was what I ate.
Yeah, Arturo's for lunch.
Yeah. And, you know, and a few years ago, another one of my legendary, my kind of boy crushes is a musician named Carrie Rodriguez.
Don't know that name.
She's phenomenal. And I got, right here again,
yeah,
got to put on a show with her, and that was really...
I, I want to get back to some of the shows, but let's talk about the building here.
Yeah, I love this building.
Church, originally, it looks like.
Catholic church, yeah.
What do you know on the history of it? I'm putting you on the spot here.
I don't know a heck of a lot. I do know that the Catholic priest, who was the priest here, died here and is buried in the little courtyard.
Ew.
And creepy. And it's supposedly haunted. In fact, one of those shows that, you know, the ghost guys who go around, they've been here.
I'll be outside to do readings about it.
So the theater is been officially, you know, considered
sanctioned,
haunted. Thanks, as haunted. Yeah. Yeah. Hold on one sec.
Yeah. No problem.
And
that's not a phone. That's a laptop. What is that? Is that a note?
That's my phone.
Was that? There are ushers coming.
Okay.
Yeah, it wasn't. So the theater, do you know when it was converted to a theater?
It's been 45 years.
Oh, wow.
Last year was its 45th anniversary.
I've seen a couple plays here, but again, like we were talking before we plugged in, I don't know why. I just don't get out much. When I'm out and about, it's typically working, local media, photos and things. When I started this podcast, you know, 6-7 months ago, I've used it as an opportunity to get out and see more entertainment, see more of our venues. And this is a place I need to come. One of my good friends, Layla Tenney, was working here for a while with the drama and put on some of the plays and things.
Yeah. They didn't do music. In fact, when John Meyer, who's the new director here, seven years ago. Yeah. When he became a director, he brought in music. He came, he called me up, and he knew about the folk sessions.
Was it primarily just dramatic performances?
Just theater, community theater.
What was the first show you did here? Do you remember?
Wow.
Would you say 12 years?
No, six.
Six.
That we've been doing shows here. I don't, haven't a clue.
No.
Might have been our first Cowboy Christmas show. Every year we do a Cowboy Christmas show.
Ramblin' Jack, though, is that safe to say the highlight?
That was as close as any, We did a group a few years ago called Red Molly. Three really hip ladies, and they had a really good, and they were very special, too. We've had a lot of great shows. Peter Case, wonderful musician. Cozy Sheridan. We brought some Grammy winners into here, which is always a thrill. Ronnie Cox, the actor.
Yeah.
Deliverance. And Total Recall.
Yeah.
RoboCop. He's also a folky.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's a beloved folky. We had him here. So not only do we have a Grammy with him, but he never won an Oscar, but he did win an Emmy.
Now, you started the folk sessions, you said. Was that 12 years ago?
12 years ago.
Now, how did that generate? How did that come about?
I lived in L.A., and I was a musician. I moved to Prescott, and I thought, that's it. I'm never going to play music again. I'm moving to this little town.
Had you done radio before?
Never did radio.
No?
But
I
was always on stage and stuff.
Yeah.
And I went... My brother-in-law was working with a fledgling radio station that had just started called KJZA 89.5, affiliated with NPR.
Yeah.
And they were just broadcasting. Basically, during the week, they would take Phoenix's NPR broadcast.
Split the feeds and stuff.
And then on about noon on Saturday to midnight on Sunday, they'd switch and do local, their own programming.
Yeah.
And at that point, they had like two or three shows. Andrew Johnson Schmidt did his Coyote Radio Theater. And there was Tulane Blues. Dan Seaman had his Tulane Blues show. And I think those were the only two live shows, and they would just pick up some music stuff and other stuff. And it was at that folk fest. It was that at the first folk fest, you know, I had come
to town. Charlotte?
Yeah, and I had come and I introduced myself to her, and I said, I'm new in town. And I said, you know, I play music, but I also produce, and I'm a graphic designer. And he said, well, you know, would you MC a stage? You know, and I said, sure. And I told my brother-in-law, I said, you guys are ready, should come down there, and you know, I'll take groups off the thing, we'll bring them around, and you could
do your interviews.
Yeah, and they did live, they put them over there
live.
And it was right after the folk fest, you know. The director, the station manager said, you know, I said to them, I said, God, this is an incredible area for live music. You guys should do a live music show. And he said, well, when do you want to start? And literally, it was like that. Now, I was new in town, I didn't know anybody, so I was going, But I had a friend I had met right away, and we became really good buddies. It was a woman named Alexa McDonald, who now lives in Portland. Mm-hmm. But she knew every musician in town, and she would host. They lived out in Hootenanny Hollow out in Williamson Valley.
Way at the end.
Yeah, way at the end. You know,
heading towards Seligman. Yeah.
And they would host a once-a-month music night where all the local musicians go there and play and jam. And so she knew every musician in Arizona. So one time I said, would you co-host this radio show with me? And she said, yeah. And so we started. Nice. We started on this, I think, like 2 weeks before Christmas. It'll be 13 years now this December. And we did it live for the first 6 years, 7 years live in the studio, 2 hours every Saturday night live. And we'd bring in musicians in the studio and they perform.
Cool.
Now I do it. It's a half hour Saturday afternoons and I don't. I record it and upload it.
And do an upload.
Yeah.
What are some of the things you got on plate for coming up?
Well, we have next Saturday, next Friday, excuse me, July 3rd.
In 2 days? July 3rd.
July
3rd. This will be up Monday, whatever Monday
is. Yeah, so July 3rd, Friday night, Americana Music Fest, our third annual at Highland Center. And they're outdoor in their beautiful amphitheater.
Beautiful out there.
So a Friday night.
Who you got on tap for that?
A cool group from Tucson called Laura and the Killed Men. Very Americana, very rootsy.
Yeah.
Plus a local cowboy band called Rusty Pistols Cowboy Band.
Nice, nice.
Yeah. And Three-Legged Dog.
Need to get tickets in advance for that?
Yeah, just go to Folk Sessions. Go to our website.
Can they also get them at the
door,
gate?
Or you can go up to the gift shop at the Highland Center and get them.
That Highland Center is beautiful.
Yeah. Now, we've been doing 8 years I've done shows during the summer.
Beautiful. Yeah. Well, I got to get out more. It's away from work. I got to get out to actually enjoy shows instead of just shooting or writing or recording.
And I should
recording.
Go show these guys where their dressing room is. They look like they're ready. They're done with sound checks.
That's fine. Pause that real quick. And just take a quick break as Tom walks the band into their dressing room, show them what's up. They're done with their sound check. Again, the Dirty Bourbon River Show. They sound great. I'm going to check them out online and maybe pull a feed or two. Tom will be right back. Southern Cal?
I grew up in Brooklyn.
Brooklyn, that's right.
In the house.
The godfather of folk. what was it like growing up with your family life? Were you only kid, brothers and sisters?
I had two other brothers and big Italian family. All my cousins and aunts and uncles all lived in Brooklyn and very social.
What did mom and dad do?
My dad was a commercial silk screener.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
No music?
No.
No,
but you know, always in the house, but not.
Yeah, they didn't play.
No. Yeah.
Did you get the music bug early? Were you playing as a little kid?
Yeah, always. I was singing. I sang from the time I could talk. I was one of those really obnoxious little kids who always sang.
Wait, brothers, two brothers. You said
two
older
brothers,
than you.
Yeah, younger? One older, younger.
Oh, so you're middle.
Yeah.
They into music at all?
My older brother was, in fact, back he had one of those early rock bands, you know, in high school, you know, so he was a big, But then, he got out of it.
Grew out of it?
Yeah,
you didn't.
No, I stayed in music.
Who were you listening to when you were growing up?
Well, as a kid, you know, in a house, Italian, Sinatra, you know, the Italian.
That was mandatory, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you can't.
Yeah, my mom was one of those.
You get deported.
Ah! You say Frank is still, if you mention Frank, not my mom, and the crosses itself. So all the Italian, we grew up in a very musical. But for me, you know, interestingly, I was very much into that doo-wop, those, you know, Little Anthony Imperials, the Drifters, all those street corner doo-wop harmony groups. You know, and early on, and then, you know, of course, the Beatles, and then the singer-songwriter. As a singer-songwriter, you know, people like Jackson Browne, you know, James Taylor, those early, they became, you know, huge.
When did you go to L.A.?
Late. I lived in Detroit for a couple of years, in Canada for a lot of years. I lived in Toronto and
Were you playing? Was that
Yeah, in fact, when I lived in, really interesting, when I lived in Toronto, I ran a coffee house there. And there was this really neat old church called Bathurst Street United Church, which was a big community center, music scene.
What year is this? What are we talking?
Early 70s.
Yeah.
And I ran a coffee house called Sunday School. And it was really, I mean, we had people like Bruce Coburn, Luke Gibson, all like Perth kind of conspiracy, very big Canadian acts to play there. It was like a really kind of neat scene in Toronto. And I ran it, so I would always do the opening. Remember a guy years ago, Dan Hill? And sometimes when we touch the honesty. Yeah, that one hit.
Yeah.
He was a friend of mine who would, we would open together, you know, we'd cheer the opening act there and stuff like that. So I always played. And then I moved out to the West Coast and was in a band that had a little bit of, you know, I mean, little bit of British Columbia notoriety. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, okay, so let's back up a little bit. New York, growing up in New York.
Yeah.
Were you playing, did you start a band of your own? Were you in a band or was it just tooling around in the garage?
Yeah, no, we were all in bands.
What was some of the first gigs you played?
High school dance.
Yeah.
Band was called the Soakin' Wet.
And what is it?
Soakin' Wet.
Soakin' Wet?
Yeah.
What kind of music were you playing? Pop? Top 40?
Yeah, I remember I played bass.
Yeah.
And my big thing was I got to sing a Vanilla Fudge tune. Remember the Vanilla Fudge by any chance? Yeah.
So when
that was great.
What would you consider your first professional gig?
Boy, my first gig that I would have gotten like nervous to be on a stage, kind of playing.
Not just for your friends, not just for your classmates.
That was like had some substance to it.
Yeah.
Would have been not when I was in Detroit, probably when I was in Toronto.
Toronto?
Yeah. There was a group there. There was that had, back in the 70s in Canada, had a lot of notoriety. They were called Perth County Conspiracy Does Not Exist. They had a deal with Columbia, put out several albums on the Columbia, and they were like a musical collective. They all lived in this kind of area. Perth County in Toronto is where the Shakespeare Fest, Shakespeare on Avon happens. So it's like very artsy place in Ontario. Big Shakespeare. They have a Black Swan coffee house there. And all of this group of musicians kind of collected around this Black Swan. And all of them were like singer-songwriters on their own right, but they put together this group called Perth County Does Not Exist. And so when they'd go to play, there'd be about a dozen of them, and they would switch off. Everybody would be the front guy at one point, and everybody else would back him up. Very, very good. Incredible songwriters. Two of them went on to be famous actors in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they all kind of had careers and did, you know,
the arts.
Yeah, they were like, you know, real deal. And they would come up and play our coffee house and stuff, and they kind of adopted me as like their mascot. You know, you know, we were the little Perth Countyers, and so probably my first gig was opening for them that had substance. Where, you know,
and what kind of stuff were you playing? Was it all folk or?
Yeah, you know, I was playing at that point. I was just getting into kind of learning some really kind of old school music, like Fred Neil kind of stuff. Fred Neil's an old folkie who used to be the house guy at the Bleecker Street, the Bitter End in Greenwich Village. The guy who Dylan's first gig was playing harmonica for Fred Neil.
Oh wow!
Right. So I was getting into Fred Neil stuff, and I was getting into some of that old kind of traditional folky. And I was like, from the day I learned three chords, I wrote. So I was writing my own songs, even, and playing my own songs.
What were some of the things you were writing? What vein?
Horrible stuff.
Nothing you're still playing?
No, not from then. Maybe there's one song from way back then that I still play. It was when I moved actually to the West Coast and lived in Victoria, British Columbia. Yeah, and I still play a song from way back then, but mostly, you know.
Yeah. No. So what brought you to L.A.? Was it music or?
Brought me to L.A. I was living in the West Coast of Canada.
Yeah.
And I was in this band, and we got invited to play a festival in San Luis Obispo.
Mm-hmm.
It was a big music festival. In fact, it was really cool. The headliners were people. It was like all these old folkies, like Papa John Creech, Malvina Reynolds, Dave Van Ronk, Buffy St. Marie, Spanky and Our Gang. I kid you not. All of these oldie folkies, I was headlining it. And we were invited down to be like represent Canada, us and another group from Canada that we knew. We were like brought down to be Canada's, and it was San Luis Obispo. And the festival was over 2 weekends. It was like 1 weekend, and we had a couple of days off, then the next weekend, right? So we did the first weekend. It was really fun. Got to meet all these cool musicians. I got to change Buffy St. Marie's guitar string. It was tons of fun. And during the break, we went up to a friend of ours. One of the guys in our band had some friends who lived in Big Sur.
Mm-hmm.
So we went up and spent our 3 days off in Big Sur. And nice. It's incredible. It was outrageous. 3 days for us Canadian boys. And then we went back to the festival. And the festival wound up losing a ton of money. So they had paid us our first thing to get us there. But yeah. We didn't get paid the money to get home. We were literally stranded in Canada, a bunch of hippies. And we wound up going to Santa Cruz. Well, first we went to Esalen. You know Esalen Institute?
Esalen, I don't know.
Esalen is an institute in Big Sur. It's like a new age.
Uh-huh.
Did you see Mad Men, the last episode of Mad Men?
No.
Well, the last episode of Mad Men is Don Draper going to Esalen and having this
probably right around
experience.
That time,
yeah.
Right? Yeah.
And writing, and I want to buy a world, the Coke commercial.
Yeah.
That's how Mad Men ended at Esalen. And it was a place for self-realization.
Yeah.
And we got...
There was a lot of that on the Central Coast then.
We got the gig of playing their Halloween party,
mm-hmm.
which paid us. So we got some money. And then we went to Santa Cruz, California.
Now, was your goal to get back to BC?
Yeah.
Okay.
We were trying to get home. And so we got...
20 miles at a time?
Yeah. So we got money. And then we went to Santa Cruz, and there was a club in Santa Cruz that had an... Battle of the Band night,
mm-hmm.
and we entered that. We came in second, made $50. But while there, I spent the afternoon just sitting on the mall in Santa Cruz watching people.
Yeah.
I was blown away.
And how old are you at this time?
I was probably 22, 23. And Santa Cruz in those days was the bar from Star Wars. Right? That's where Santa Cruz was. Outrageous
kind of.
Yeah. And I was just blown away.
Yeah.
I was just blown away. And so we went back to Canada. We made enough. We went back to Canada. And I went back to a not a good personal situation with the person and I went back to like a heartbreak.
Yeah.
So I went, and it was October, right? It was Halloween. So November 2nd to 3rd. And it just rains in British Columbia.
Ugly weather.
In November is like...
Broken heart.
I don't want to be broken.
Holidays coming up.
I got a friend of mine who was one of the men said, let's go back to Santa Cruz. And we did. I went back to Santa Cruz and now it's game over.
Yeah. And just worked your way down or did you spend some time in Santa Cruz too?
We just shrunk in Santa Cruz.
No, but did you stay in Santa Cruz for a while?
Well, a great story. Went down to Santa Cruz. First night. There's a club called The Catalyst.
Yeah, still there.
Who's playing? The Ducks.
The Ducks.
The Ducks. At that period of time, Neil Young was known to sit in regularly with The Ducks. The Ducks was a group led by a guy who was part of Moby Grape. Remember Moby Grape? His new band was The Ducks. And Neil Young was known to sit in with The Ducks.
Yeah.
So first night there, The Catalyst got to go to see The Ducks. Maybe Neil Young shows up. Neil Young didn't show up, but I met this. Gorgeous. I met a really lovely, young, wonderful woman who opened her home and her heart to me. And that was game over at that point.
And?
Yeah, and stayed in Santa Cruz for 7 years.
Oh, wow.
Love Santa Cruz. Eventually, I moved to L.A. because we realized Santa Cruz was the land of the three-hour breakfast.
We used to go to Santa Cruz in the... Sheesh. I remember the first time being there early 70, 71, 72. Mm-hmm. My grandmother lived there. When my grandfather had died and all the kids out of the house in the 60s, she moved to their little summer home. My dad was, he grew up in San Leandro, working class Portuguese family. But my grandfather, his father, was a carpenter. And picked up land in Santa Cruz probably in the late 40s, mid to late 40s, and built a house on it. So, they had a summer home there. And once I came along, we would go visit Grandma in Santa Cruz. Uh-huh. That's where she made her permanent home. And I remember, as a little kid, just being blown away by what's going on.
That incredible?
Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful little town. And
that's where I met my lovely wife who just walked through.
Is that the one you were talking about?
No. So I met her a few years after that period.
We'll switch that conversation.
She actually knew Julie. So.
And you played music this whole time?
Yeah. I played a lot of music in Santa Cruz. In fact, in those days, I had visions of being, you know, making, quote
being
unquote,
it,
making.
Having Neil Young sit in with you?
Yeah.
You could have been a duck.
It was really funny, you know. It's L.A. is the whole thing. We're Santa Cruz, you know, and I go into the studio. We make our little demo, our four-song demo.
Yeah.
We're so proud of it. And, our drummer, we go to L.A. We're going to go to L.A.
We'll take it over by storm.
We have one address, you know. We're going to do it. And we stay at this friend of his house, you know, who lived right on Malibu, right on the beach. It was really neat. The guest house, so we're Malibuing it. But everybody who came in, the pool guy, here's my demo. produced by David Foster. The plumber. Oh, yeah, I have the Tower of Power horn section on my deck.
And it hasn't changed. Now it's, I don't know if it's so much the music scene anymore, but now it's, everybody's got a screenplay. Yeah. It's the same thing.
That was just hilarious. So we folded our little demo and went back to Santa Cruz.
Are you guys Tom?
No, go ahead.
Is there any Toms here?
I'm Tom.
Tom, did you order pizza?
Yes.
Are there any Toms here? There's a couple. Pick one.
I got it.
No, go ahead.
Let me go tip the pizza boy.
Again. What's your name?
Okay, I'm Jimmy Williams. I'm tuba and bass player for the Dirty Bourbon River Show.
And how long you been with the group? I'm going to slide up closer because I can't hear too well.
That's cool. I think I joined up in 2010, I think so. Should have been.
And the group's been in existence, you had said, since
2009, yeah.
2009, so you're one of the...
I'm not the original bass player, but I've been around for a pretty long time.
So. How'd you hook up with these guys?
Oh, well, we all met up at school, Loyola University in New Orleans. And so the original bass player is this great guy, CJ. He's from Haiti. And I originally got the gig because he was afraid of touring in Texas. He thought
I'm afraid of touring in Texas.
Yeah. But yeah, and so I took over for him, and then he ended up getting his, I think, a master's in business administration, something like that. He's, you know, he's making real money doing all that kind of thing. But yeah, I ended up just joining the band, and it was cool. I mean, it worked because I play tuba too, and and all that, and, you know, doing the New Orleans thing. It's good to have a tuba player on your band.
Who were some of your musical influences coming up?
Well, originally I was a classical upright bass player. That was my thing for a real long time. And then got to college, and I needed to pay rent, so I learned how to play tuba and got it just... as soon as I got into the city, I fell in love with brass band music, you know, and I was like, I could play tuba. That's the coolest thing, and so that's what I did. You know, I started playing all the traditional stuff, doing second lines, weddings, all that, playing the street brass band stuff. You know, and I was lucky enough that at the university, the tuba professor just took me on. You know, and for a couple of years, it was just like wasn't official classes. He was just at the kindness of his heart. He wasn't getting paid for it.
Wow.
So yeah, he just wanted to. He likes, you know, Dr. Joseph Hebert. He's a great guy, and he's all about like bass players. Like bass players, are bass players. They play tuba. They play bass. They play it's all
backbone,
the same.
Yeah.
It's all the same. You should play it. Yeah. You should play it all. And so yeah, that's what I learned from him. It was good.
You were talking a little bit earlier when I asked you about the touring schedule that you guys are in the middle of right now.
Mm-hmm.
Run some of the dates by that you're coming off of.
Let's see. We just spent about 2 weeks in Colorado. We were just everywhere. We played, we played the Bluegrass Festival in Palisades. We played Denver, Boulder. We played, Bond? Little small, like Crestone, a tiny, tiny place.
Yeah.
We've played all the corners. It's a great, like, Colorado's a really, really fun town, fun place, and everybody comes out to your shows, and they really get down, and they have some fantastic, fantastic breweries, distilleries, dispensaries, all that good stuff.
I was just up there about 4 or 5 weeks ago for a job in Fort Collins, and I'd never been to Colorado before, and wanted to work a couple of days of touring and getting a chance to take a look at the scenery, didn't get a chance to. But is that kind of how you guys are? I mean, because it sounds like you're one place after another. Do you get a chance to?
We don't usually get a chance to hang out and chill, because usually it's, you know, we drive into a place, we play a show, we stay the night, and usually we have to drive to another place. Whenever we can, like a... We played Manitou Springs a couple of times, and they have really cool springs, and we try, if we have a little bit of time here and there, we try to catch some cool stuff. Usually we're a little busy, you know. But whenever we can, anytime we try to, because it's just beautiful driving through all that countryside, you know.
What are some of your favorite spots that you've been able to play?
In Colorado or just generally? Anywhere, let's see. All of Colorado is really, really nice.
Colorado's your...
It's beautiful drives, really, really cool fans, very appreciative fans, and all that.
That's because they're high.
Well, I mean, hey, I'm not going to judge. That's fine. You pay for the ticket. That's fine. Yeah, I don't care. That's fine.
You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Just keep going. If not, there's a bush up, I think.
Yeah. Well, let's see. We have a lot of fun in, let's see. Well, pretty much the East Coast is real cool. North Carolina especially, they got a lot of crazy people that are real, real fun. So many hula hoopers and slackliners and on. Everybody just comes out to the show. They got fire everything. North Carolina people are great. That's where we started touring originally.
The first
real tour we did outside of Louisiana.
Do you play much at home? Or is it mainly on tour?
When we can, usually we're around for Mardi Gras. We're around for Halloween, sometimes New Year's, stuff like that. Jazz Fest, Voodoo Fest, that kind of thing. But honestly, during the summer, we try to get out because it's way too hot.
Too humid. Now, where are you headed from here?
Let's see. After we have a few more dates in Arizona.
Where in Arizona? Where are you headed?
We've got Phoenix on Thursday. We've got...
Now, you're not getting out of the heat then.
No, it's a different kind. It's a little bit more tolerable, I would say. You know, 100% humidity wears you down pretty fast. But we got Phoenix, we got Flagstaff on Saturday, we got Tucson on Friday. Then it's off to Utah for, I think, one show. Then it's off to Pacific Northwest.
You're just on the go, man.
Got to hustle. That's the only way you can make, you know.
Yeah.
Make some bread, man. That's what you got to do.
Yeah, you're a full-time musician.
Yep, this is what I do full-time.
365 days a year, huh?
That's right. Yeah. And then when we're not on the road touring, then there's always something to do. Like, we go home and record. We shoot music videos. We do. You always have to be doing something. Because, you know, there's plenty of bands that are lazy. You can't be one of them if you want to make it. So,
Where can folks find out about?
All of our stuff. Dirty Bourbon River Show.
I'm sorry. I'm just learning about you guys, Tom.
It's a bit of a mouthful too, but at DirtyBourbonRiverShow.com. We have all of our dates posted, contact information, links to all of our music, and all that stuff. It's all right there. And
you're pretty active on Facebook.
Facebook, Twitter, all that
there.
Social media stuff, and you know, I'm not as active as I should be. I'm working on it, but do what I can.
Now, what are some places that you haven't gotten a chance to play that are in your target?
Well, we want to cross off all 50 states by the end of this tour. We would have played 43. We still need to play Idaho, North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota. Of course, Alaska, Hawaii, and California. There we go.
You haven't played California?
No. It's a big place. It's really far away. We'll get there. You know, we'll probably play a festival sometime. We haven't had it yet.
Now, you're a Louisiana native?
No, actually. I was born in San Francisco.
I'm Hayward, born and raised.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
Man.
How long were you in San Francisco?
Less than 2 years, and my family moved to outside of Atlanta.
Yeah,
and then I didn't quite like that so much, so I got to New Orleans as soon as I hit 18.
So Atlanta was your
that's where I grew up. And I was in the youth symphonies there and that kind of thing.
Have you been back to San Francisco?
I visited family out there and all that, but nah, never with the band though.
Yeah, I grew up in the East Bay, just south of Oakland, right between Oakland and San Jose.
Oh, cool.
Been out here for about... I moved from a very, very small town of about 150,000 people to Paulden, which is about 30 miles this way, 3,000 people.
All right.
So that was kind of a culture shock for me growing up in the East Bay.
Hmm.
Well, I'm looking forward to getting to know your music a little more. I'll put some posts, if it's okay, some links to the website.
Much appreciated.
You got some video clips on there as well?
Yeah, on the website, yeah. We've got video links, audio stuff.
I will familiarize myself with the group. Thanks for sitting down with me. I appreciate
it. Thanks for having
me. Thanks. First off, this was great.
It was fun.
We took a little break because the band... done with their sound check, had to get a little bite to eat. We had the food kind. Just sitting backstage.
Yeah.
Just sitting backstage. The energy, the feeling of the controlled chaos.
Yeah.
You thrive on that.
Oh, I love it. It's always nice watching bands load in. You know, they've been on the road for a bunch of hours, you know, pouring out of their van, getting their sound check, getting used to the theater and stuff. You know, and then they get into what I always find interesting.
You have her. Sorry.
That will be forever memorialized on the radio.
Man, how are you? Good to see you.
Oh man, I'm running. Fryo's my man.
Did you listen to the interview? Did you listen to the interview I did with him? No, she did.
All right.
I am.
Are you going to be out front?
Yeah.
I'll hit you up before I leave.
You best.
I will.
Hit me, babe.
Good to see you.
Happy hour, Dan Nightingale. I'll tell you the inside story there. I've known him the day he got off the airplane.
I'm sorry to hear that.
He's
on the line. I will. I haven't been over there in a while. I got a message with from Catfish today, yesterday. I got to go out and meet him for something else, but yeah. I will. Man, they'll let anybody in here.
You owe me big time.
The feeling back, it's just great. I love it back here. What were some of the, when you were playing in L.A., how does this relate to that? How does this feel?
I tell a funny story, and it has to do with why I do this here. Is, you know, when L.A., I always say, like, living in L.A., music is a contact sport. You know, it's not convivial almost at all, you know. It's very competitive, you know, because any place you are, like, you could be at a party. There's a musical play with friends playing. People think, well, it could be an A&R guy there. There could be a publicist.
There.
Yeah. So every, even just very, the most casual, fun, just let's get together and jam, takes on a whole nother layer. This, especially, you know, back, even when you still can get record deals, you know. So it was a
records,
little
what else?
Yeah, right. You could get signed by a label. Come on. And I tell you, I was at a party, and it was a good friend of mine's house party. It wasn't like a party. I didn't know anybody. It was like my best friend, my best man at my wedding's party.
Yeah.
So I'm in there, and we're sitting around playing, and there's some gear set up. So I'm literally doing a song. I got my guitar, and there's a mic, and I'm singing into the mic, and there's people. It's a party, and it's like going on. Guy walks in, walks up to me, takes the mic away in the middle of a song because it was his mic, and he's getting ready for his thing. Right in the middle of a song to set up so he could sing. And that was, to me, that was like, okay, this is it, you know. So the first thing I did the next day is I went and bought my own gear, so nobody could ever do that to me again. But it was like that's what, you know, music was like there. And then when I came to here, and I mentioned that Folk Fest, the first Folk Fest, I'd been here 2 months, and there was a Folk Fest. I hadn't, you know, so it was like my first public Prescott music event. And all over the Charlotte Hall lawns are people in circles playing together, jamming. And if you walked up to the circle, they didn't look at you and say, what are your credits? Who have you played with? How many, you know, they, you know, parted so you had space to walk in and join it. And this is all over the lawn. And these are really, really good musicians. I mean, first rate, playing with guys who are just learning their instrument.
Yeah.
And not judging them, not going, what are you doing here? Beat it. Just, you know, encouraging them. And I was blown away. I mean, really. I'd lived in L.A. for 17 years. So I hadn't seen that in a long time, you know. And it was literally like, oh, my Lord. People are, like, playing together. It's like the old days, you know, my old hippie days of being in bands and you jam, you know.
Yeah.
And that's incredible. That's still the spirit of this area. I mean, you still go to any of the folk fests in Arizona. You know, that this, in fact, this weekend is the Flagstaff Folk Fest.
Mm-hmm.
People will be just sitting around jamming. You know, the professionals who got sets will come out and then play with everybody there. And there's that, and that's part of folk music, first off.
Yeah.
When I lived in L.A., I didn't really play folk music. I was more into, you know, singer-songwriter, R&B stuff, you know, electric and things. But folk music is everybody's in the band, you know.
Nice.
Make the circle wider and join in.
Now, on folk sessions, you sit and talk and learn the music, introduce people like myself to music that we're not necessarily familiar with.
Yeah,
what
I love doing is, especially in this kind of Americana music stuff, where do you hear new artists? Where do you hear these artists? And you don't hear it on Magic 99.1, which is a great station, but they don't play that kind of music.
Yeah.
They play commercial music.
So you gotta seek it out.
You gotta seek it out.
Educate guys like me who may not, I don't have a real depth in music. What I was hearing while we were recording, and when I came in earlier, the sound check was outrageous. I'm going to go home. That's the first thing I'm going to do, start Googling some of this. Uh-huh. Educate me. Who are some folks, who are some of the best musicians that aren't necessarily getting the recognition that
it's funny
that they deserve?
There's some really good artists out in this genre, the Americana folk genre. You know, they cover a really wide gamut. We had a group that came through part of the Boys to Men Festival in May.
Yes.
They came through from California. Americana called the Show Ponies. Five-piece. Blew the house out. They were the opening act for the concert that we had. They were opening for the... And they got two standing ovations as the opening act.
Wow.
And this is an audience that no one in that audience had ever heard them before. If they heard of them, it was only because I had promoted them and they might have Googled them or gone to YouTube to watch one of the videos. But nobody ever heard of them, but they were really, really good. We had a group come through about a year ago called the Dust Bowl Revival. Really fun. Really good group.
Yeah.
Really good group. And they're starting, some of these groups are starting, you know, every time I hear from them, you know, they've taken another notch up. In fact, the Dust Bowl guys, just heard from them, they just did some project, a video project with Dick Van Dyke.
Yeah.
And then they were, we thought that was good, being a Dick Van Dyke fan. But there's a couple of labels, more than even artists, there's a couple of really good labels. One is called Red House. And they have in their, you know, they line up some very, very good artists in the Americana world that I would suggest if you're looking for them, go to some of these, like, go to Red House and check out their stable. Signature Sounds that comes out of Washington State have some really, really good artists on them, too.
Anybody?
Massachusetts Signature? Yes.
And then, of course, there's the, where's the card?
Yeah.
I can't even get a Dirty Bourbon River Show.
And in fact, the agency that these guys are part of has one of the best lineups of groups. Just about every group that they represent are somebody you go, I want to hear those guys.
And who is that?
Pray Today. Yeah. And they have this lineup of these. They're all visually entertaining as much as musically entertaining. They all have really, really great promotion stuff. For somebody like me, if it's putting on a concert, you know, one of the things I look for is that the acts have good, photos, stuff that you can use as tools.
Yeah, to promote.
To promote,
get people in the
These
door.
You guys have the best. You guys have great, great photos.
Yeah. I was looking through some of them on your Facebook page.
You really photograph well, in fact.
It's the beard. The beard does it.
Yeah, look at this. It's like an athlete. They're preparing for that music you were saying. Boom, boom. Dun, dun, boom, boom, boom. You know, so you want groups that have, you know, like we said earlier, something that's different. That's not, you're not going to see, you know.
Yeah, and that you're not going to get on FM radio and you know,
but
the local
Pray Today, they do. They have a really good line.
Nice.
In fact, I was just working with them today about bringing one of their groups to here next year.
Well, hey, I think we're good. Anything you want to touch on that we have?
No, but, you know, my show's on Saturday afternoons. It's 2:30 to 3 on KJZA 89.5. But you can also hear online. In fact, I don't know if you know this. There's a 24/7 Arizona online radio station called Amaze Radio, A-M-A-Z, which is Acoustic Music Arizona, Amaze
nice.
Radio. And 24/7, and they play a lot of Arizona artists.
I'll check that out and put a link on.
They're folk, but they cover a lot of local, a lot of Arizona people. And you can hear my show at 2 o'clock on Saturdays.
2 o'clock on Saturdays there,
and 2:30
on the radio at 2:30, and online, your site for your schedule and everything is
folksessions.com. And I just learned today that our station is just connected to a new transponder, another one, and now you can hear us in parts of Phoenix.
Cool.
And Laughlin, and so we're spreading out.
Nice,
our empire is spreading.
And then don't forget, local music, support them as well. Make sure all the local artists. Now, you still play. And
I still play.
Do you put your schedule on your folk sessions?
I do have a page. I mean, if you probably wanted to ask, it was probably a year ago that I actually updated. You know, I'm a little slow on updating my own stuff. You know, I tend to.
And then you have.
I'm really good at my shows, you know, keeping that up. But in terms of me, I'm.
Of your own personal performances. Yeah. We'll look for it and we'll be listening.
I've been mostly playing the church circuit these days.
Gotcha. Now, that before we cut, that was one thing. You had your family here. Your family consists of.
Well.
Your wife?
Krista, and I have my daughter, Aurelie, lives with us, plus her three children, my three grandkids.
Now, were these your grandkids that were behind me?
Two of them were there. But three of the young girls who were there, there were three young girls who looked similar.
Uh-huh.
There are triplet nieces.
Nice.
Who are visiting with us. And they're 16 years old, and they're
triplets.
And
you put them to work?
Of course.
Ah!
Well, they love doing this stuff.
Yeah.
In fact, Sierra was the stage manager to her high school's last play. She's stage manager.
Nice.
So this is their love.
Yeah.
You know, they just go, what more can we do? We want to do more.
How fun, and what a great atmosphere to be able to spend.
Great to bring them here.
Yeah, great. Well, I'll let you get. It's about time for these guys to take the stage.
Yeah, got to be
and
a good show.
Tom,
Matt,
as always, pleasure.
You have to come on my show now.
I would love to. I don't play an instrument, can't
you don't
sing.
Have to. We'll just talk. We could,
oh,
we
boy.
Just chat. I'm a chat.
What a boring time that'll be for your listeners. When's this guy going to shut up and we can sing a song?
And you could bring me me a couple of songs that you really like, some artists you really like.
I would love to. We can talk about some of the histories of that. Maybe you can play a tune or two.
Yeah.
And then we can plug that, and that'll be one of your dates that you can have on your date.
And I live, you know,
we're close.
I record in my house.
So. Good deal.
Yeah.
I'll reach out to you. That'd be great. Thanks again.
Pleasure.
Appreciate it. I'm going to let you go, and I want to listen to these guys play. Well, that was our show. We hope you enjoyed it. Tom Agostino of the Folk Sessions radio show on the K-Jazz Radio Network. There are information about his upcoming shows at folksessions.com. Don't forget to check out the Dirty Bourbon River Show at dirtybourbonrivershow.com. And stop by and see Jimmy James at Jimmy James Motorsports in Chino Valley. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.
could be a doll, or you could be a monkey, or you could be a howl, or you could be anything that you want. I wanna be an animal. I do you wanna be an animal? What have you called me a for? Leave your human at the thank you.